Last week we talked about four ways that you can hear God speak to you in your life. And I think they're just super important because God still speaks through his word in all sorts of different ways. We talked about the 90, you know, nine, and then the sharing the 1%. But I told you last week that I wanted to come back to this particular one because God does in his word, he talks about this. He does at times speak to us through impressions, feelings, peace, feelings, I guess, at different times in our life. And so I told you I'd come back and finish this up because this causes, I think, a lot of confusion in our culture today. And the reason I say that, because we live in a culture right now that is feelings-based so much. It used to be maybe more fact-based, but we live in a feelings-based world today. If I feel it, it must be true. And if I really feel strongly about it, it must be really true. Even though my truth conflicts with your truth and your truth and your truth, I mean, as long as we don't, you know, bother anybody with our truths, which is almost impossible, but the reality is, then we're okay. But the reality is that because of this feelings-based world that we get in, and because God does promise to speak to us through impressions, I think it's super important that we walk through, how do you tell, because this is the question, if it's from God or if it's from something else? I mean, the reality of it, as you think through this, is how do I know I'm just not talking to myself? How many of you guys do that? Do you guys talk to yourself? You know, anybody? It's not just me. Excellent. That's wonderful. But when it comes to impressions, I found over the years that you can confuse, I can confuse my feelings, my desires with God's will a lot because I'm an amazing rationalizer. Think about your pet sin. I mean, I know you guys probably really have to search to find this. The other services, it was real easy. But the reality is, think of your pet sin. And think of the things that you want to carve out of your life because you know that sin's causing destruction in your life, okay? And I want you to think of all the rationalizations and justifications and excuses you have to do these things over and over. When you know it's counterproductive, you know it's destroying you, but in that moment, you are masters. Can I tell you? You are geniuses at tricking yourself. Because we feel it in that moment that it's okay or we won't get caught or whatever the deal, and we're ruled so often by these feelings. Okay. Satan, or in scripture it says, Satan too can talk to us. Isn't that an interesting thing? He can implant thoughts or ideas as well. How does he do this? Well, we read things or we watch things on TV or on the internet, and all of a sudden they go into our minds. And pretty soon we're convinced that God is telling us these things instead of the article we read or the TV show we watched or whatever the deal might be. Sometimes it's even the burrito you ate the night before. I keep using that phrase, but it's funny what food does, and it's funny the way that spins us out in our dreams and all different kinds of things. Okay, so the question comes back to, how do you know when it's really God? And I think this is a big issue. It may not be a big issue if you're trying to think of where to eat after service today. I mean, God probably doesn't care that much which one you do, but it might be a major thing if you're thinking about who to marry, or a career change, or a fundamental change in your life. In those times, you need to hear from God. God wants to talk to you. He wants to have this relationship with you where it's a give and take constantly in your life. So again, the question becomes, how do I know that he's really speaking with me? And again, I can't tell you or overemphasize the importance of this today. In 1 John 4:1, it says, don't always believe everything you hear just because somebody says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. So today, I want to give you four ways to test an impression from God, to test a feeling that's going on in your life right now. Four ways to know if it's really God talking to you or not. And here's the thing, an impression, if it doesn't pass all four of these tests, you can know it's not from God immediately. You can discount it, you can throw it away. On the other hand, if it meets all four of these tests, this idea or impression meets all four of these tests, if it passes all four, you can know with certainty it's from God. And that's what Scripture gives us. It gives us ways to test these things going on in our minds, right? Test these impressions that we get. All right, so what are they? I want to give you the first one because hopefully it's the most logical one to you. It's this. Does it agree with the Bible? And this matters. Why is this so important? Answer, because God never contradicts his written word, ever, ever, ever. In Luke 21, verse 33, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So God testifies to you that he will never, ever tell you to violate anything in his book. Now, I share that because you hear all sorts of craziness in our world today. A new wind's blowing in and God's telling us to do this. Or like that example I used to that guy in my first year of ministry. I feel a peace about it, Pastor. I know I'm supposed to leave my wife and run off with my secretary. No, right? It's called adultery. It's conflicting with God's word. You know it's wrong right from the beginning. You don't even have to get to your feelings. So God will never tell you to ignore or disobey anything in his book. He doesn't say one thing, another thing, and another time. Why? Because God was smart enough to do it right at the beginning. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is all-knowing. He is all-good. He knows exactly what we need. Why? Because he created us. He knows what's good for us, what's bad for us, and so he outlines that from the beginning to the end of Scripture. He is not a God who changes his mind. In fact, Scripture actually talks against that. It says God does not change. He is consistent. For example, if you start reading in the Bible, you'll notice that one of the things it says in Romans is pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. And so you know that God will never give you a feeling or an impression that says, ha, the government just wastes all my money, so I'm going to lie and cheat them at every turn. I'm not going to pay my taxes at all. You know that's never going to be from God. Why? Because it conflicts with what he's already said to us in Romans. Here's the thing. We always get into trouble when we doubt God's word and we don't listen to what he says. I say that especially because they just passed a bill that a whole bunch of more IRS agents are going to be going out, so absolutely obey this one, right? But the reality is God will never contradict his word. So again, he's always consistent. Now, most of the reality is that God's will for your life is already written in his book, and I love that. If you read through scriptures, you already know certain things about God's will. You already know what he wants to do in a whole bunch of different situations. Somebody asked me one time, Pastor, do you pray about getting up in the morning and going to church? I do not, right? Because I already know that it's right. I don't pray about tithing either. You know why? I already know that it's right. I don't pray about sharing my faith with each other. I just do it because I already know that it's right. There's certain things I don't even have to pray for, wonder about, because God already tells us, this is my will. I need you to follow me. I need you to do it. Because it's right there in God's word. And when you build your life on God's word, on his truth, you're going to start asking the right questions as you go through life. If you don't build your life on his book, on his word, you're going to miss God's will a lot of the time, and it's going to cause a lot of complication in your life. Why? Because going against God's will, embracing sin, always destroys, always complicates, always stresses, always creates fear, always makes your life more difficult. That's why God says, follow me, because you're his kids. Follow me, and let me keep you safe. Let me go this way, where you'll experience more blessing. Now, it doesn't mean people can't be mean to you. It just means you're not bringing that 90% of your struggles that you bring upon yourself because you decided to trust God more. This is the biggest test. If it conflicts with God's word, you can know from the outset, no matter how deeply you feel that you need to leave your wife and run off with your secretary, that that is not from God. Second thing, and I think this is one that we don't often think about. Does it make me more like Christ? In Philippians 2:5, it says, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the standard by which we measure everything that we do. One of God's greatest goals for us, and this is all the way through the Bible, is to make us more and more like Jesus. Not to be a God, but to be godly. And this is what I mean. To be one that has character, who has love, joy, peace, patience, all the qualities that Jesus had as he walked this life. Now, God would never tell you to do anything that would contradict or would hinder you from living this kind of life, ever. You got to think through that, right? But he would never call you to be opposite of what he wants you to be. A practical application of this, of being like Christ, is in James 3. If you harbor envy or selfish ambition, such wisdom does not come from God. In other words, you know that impression doesn't come from God if it causes bitterness or selfish ambition in your life. Again, Scripture says that wisdom that comes from God is pure and peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and impartial and sincere. He says these are the kind of filters that you should filter through those impressions with. God's wisdom is not selfish ambition. If you get an idea of how to promote yourself better, not from God. If you get an idea of how to be more self-serving or to serve selfish ambition, not from God. On the other hand, if it is pure, self-sacrificing, then it does tend to be from God. Bottom line, if you've really heard an idea from God, it's going to cause you to be more gracious and kind to other people. Let me give you an example. You can hear from God that, read through those words and find out that this particular thing is a sin. And you can see that sin very clearly, and you know that somebody in your life is committing that sin. And God wants you as a believer, as a brother in Christ, to go share that. Now, that impression is true, right? They're complicating their life with sin, and you want to protect them. There's two ways you can go about that. If you feel like God is telling you to hammer them over the head as hard as you can, to yell at them, to win the argument, you're missing God's call to you. If instead you go and share that as lovingly as you can, trying to word it in ways that they can hear, never backing away from the truth, but trying to open up that conversation so that you can begin walking them through what God's desire is for their life, how they can change their life, how they can get to the other side of their life, then you've gained a great deal. God never calls you to be a jerk, but he does call you to love. And at times that blends because sometimes you need tough love because the person's just not hearing it. But the reality is he always wants you to pursue the character of being like Jesus. In other words, you know that impression doesn't come from God if it causes bitterness and envy and selfish ambition. You need to ask the question, what would Jesus do this? Is this something that Jesus would do as I'm going through life? As I'm feeling this feeling with all my heart to do this horrible thing, is this something Jesus would do or not? Let me give you the next one. In trying to figure out whether this idea is from God or not, you need to ask the question, does my church family confirm it? Now, I know that confuses us because we're used to living our lives pretty much alone, right? Apart from any organization. We come to church because we know we're going to hear God's word. We get to give high fives to different people. But God created the church for you guys and for me, to be brothers and sisters as we go through life, to be mutual encouragers, to be prayers for the other person, to be supports for the other person, to care for the other person. God knows that we need this because being a Lone Ranger Christian is really hard as you go through this life. It's really hard. So we ask the question, does my church family confirm it? In Ephesians 3:10, it says, God's intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. And so if God has genuinely spoken to you, given you an idea, an impression, he's going to confirm it through other believers because they know his word too, right? And the biggest reason people miss God's will for their life, mess up their lives, Christians too, because they're convinced that they can go through it by themselves and be okay. It's this Lone Ranger Christian mentality, right? They're going to live their lives without any accountability, anybody else, any support, any confirmation, any counsel, any guidance. I've got this. I'm my own best expert on how to live my life. And yet the Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. It's one of the reasons I love the elders. Can I tell you that? And let me just lift them up for a second. These guys are amazing men of God. They know God's word. They're in his word. They share godly counsel all the time. And you know, I'm a little bit crazy. Okay, fair enough, right? And I'll come to these elders' meetings. I have all sorts of ideas. I come up with these ideas all the time. And they help me sift through them. Pastor, that sounds like a great idea. Pastor, what are you thinking, right? And they help me work through that and navigate it. And here's the thing. If these godly men that are in my life and I share an idea with them, but they have concerns and questions, and they don't know if it meshes exactly with what God's word is, they let me know. And that should be a red flag to me. I should look at this. It doesn't mean it's always wrong, but I should look at it to make sure that I'm doing the right things. And that's the value of having people in your life like that. And when I was going through a leadership thing in the church, one of the things they said is everybody should have a board of directors, their own personal board of directors. People in their life that are invested in you, right? That care enough about you to tell you the truth, that love you so much that want to see you succeed. And you meet with these people like once a month, right? And share with them all of life, not just your business life, but your family life and all sorts of life. And share with them where you are and let them pour into you wisdom and care and support. It would change everything. And that's what the elders do for me. They give me a sounding board of which to go through life. And I love that. And I support them. And you should thank them for that because it's an amazing thing that they do for this church. But that's what the church is supposed to be, a sounding board. People that can confirm or say, whoo, red flags here. That's not a good idea, right? So that we can help us discern God's voice in our life. In Proverbs 11:9, it says, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. Save us from what? From money, from time, from reputation? It is safe to ask mature believers to evaluate impressions. You need to. You need to get people who love you enough to level with you. If you have an idea and you've always wondered, is this from God or not, seek out other mature Christians. If other mature Christians believe or understand or agree with you, then okay. If not, you should be thinking about it. And if you can't find a mature Christian who believes or the same thing you do or thinks it's a good idea, I'm sure you can find all sorts of other people out there that will agree with you. I shared this story about that one gal, right, that went to me and asked me if she could leave her husband, right, and run off with this guy that she was having an affair with. And I said, no, that's called adultery. God says that's wrong. Please don't do it. Reconcile with your husband. Save your kids. Save your marriage. Do what's right. Well, she didn't like that advice, so she went to the next church. And she asked that pastor, and he was a grounded pastor, and he said, no, don't do this. You're destroying your family. You're destroying your life. Please don't go this direction. So she went to another pastor, and she asked him the same thing. She went to, I think it was 15 different pastors, until she finally found one from a different faith who said, of course, it's all about love. And if you love and you feel the love in this direction, you should go that direction. I promise you, if you go and you ask people in your life, you will eventually find somebody who will agree with you. That's why you need to narrow it to believers that are mature in their faith, who know God's truth, who may have been in the faith longer than you to help you see what's right and the directions that you should take in your life. And then there's this last one. And usually when you talk to people, this is the one they exclusively use. It's all about this one. And reality is that all four of these have to be present. But the last one is this. Do I sense God's peace about it? Again, that guy who came to me, I feel a peace that God is telling me to do this crazy thing. I feel it so strongly, Pastor, that I'm supposed to leave my wife and run off with my secretary. Colossians 3:1 says this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If God is genuinely speaking to you and you think this idea is from God, it's going to bring peace in your heart if you follow it. God's spirit produces a calm spirit. So here's the tension. Our world runs by feelings. And if we can convince ourselves that this is right and feel a peace about it, we assume it's from God. God also works through peace, but he also uses the other three in conjunction with it. He will not give you a peace if you're going something. If you have a peace but you're going against God's will, it's still not right. If you're going and can't find anybody to agree with you, no Christian in the world will agree with you, and you feel a peace, it's still not right. If it doesn't make you more godly, it makes you less godly, it's still not right. All four of these things are tests to test if it's a message from God. But we've got to stop as Christians, keep saying, I just feel a peace about it. And I hear that over and over, so there's more to it. But God does use this peace. Worry and anxiety are never from God, never. And the Bible says, don't worry. And so we're commanded not to worry. And so if any impression that we get gives us more worry in our life, it's not from God. We start asking, what if? And then we worry, not from God. My buddy had a lady in his church, and she would every week come to him with something. And she would just continually beat herself up. God told me this. And it was a pounding from God on something she was doing wrong in her life. She'd come back the next week, and it was all about something she had done wrong. She'd come back the next week, same thing. It was an oversensitive conscience. My buddy said most of the time it wasn't even something that was wrong. It was like maybe gray, but not necessarily even wrong. But she was always beat up until one day my buddy says, does God ever say anything nice to you? Because when I read his word, I hear about forgiveness. I hear about healing and strength and hope and mercy and grace. When you read through the pages of scriptures, God's promises you lift you up. They give you peace. They give you strength. Why are you listening always to the bad stuff? So many of you, and I share that illustration, have taken a voice of an unpleasable parent or a boss or somebody in your past, and you've given that voice to God. And all you think he ever does is he yells at you, telling you all the things that you're doing wrong. But let me say this, if that's the way you think, you don't understand grace. And I've met a lot of people in my life that get stuck over in this place where they just keep hearing the negative, but they don't ever quite hear his grace. You don't understand that it's all been paid for. It's all been forgiven. You want to live for Christ, right? Not because God is constantly beating you up, telling you to do better. That's not the way God treats his kids. He says, I've already forgiven every sin in your life, everyone, and you're on your way to heaven. And so we serve God out of gratitude for everything that he's done for us. I want to serve Jesus not because he beats me up, but because the peace that I receive by living in that mercy and in that grace and in his presence is amazing. I want to live in that peace all the time. I don't want to beat myself up anymore. I want to say, I'm sorry, receive that forgiveness, and move on. And that's the peace that God wants to give. Guys, there's nothing more vital than hearing from God in your life. He is a real God that is constantly speaking to us through his word. So you need to hear from God. Because you are wired to have a relationship with him. That's what he desires, and that's what he wants. And if you miss that, you miss out on one of the greatest purposes that he has for your life. Now, it may not be a big deal if you're trying to figure out if you should eat Lucky Charms or Cheerios, for sure, right? He doesn't care. But there are a lot of major decisions in your life that he does care about, that you need to hear from him on. And if you're making decisions without taking time to listen, I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up for failure after failure in your family, in your business, in your parenting, in your finances, in your health, in every area of your life. It just makes sense to listen to the one that created you and loves you. And so the secret of hearing God clearly is to get to know him better and better and better. Opening up the pages of Scripture, coming to church and hearing those promises anew and anew so you don't forget. Because the more you understand him, the better you get to know him, and the quicker he can bring stuff to you in that second that you need to hear it. My oldest daughter was talking to me the other day, and she was sharing a story, and she's like, "Dad, as I've gone through this experience," and she had to grieve the loss of somebody in her life this summer. A young kid just passed away. But she says, I was going through this. You know, it's different than some of the other kids I've been talking to. She goes, "I already know that God's got me in this. I already know what he says about this. I know he's there. I know he's walking me through. I still get mad. Sometimes I still yell at him, but I know what he's going to say in return." Why? Because since she's been little, she's been immersing herself in God's word. She knows what God says. And those voices, those words from God continue through the Spirit to get brought to her in times of need so that she experiences more peace and comfort and strength. Instead of staying in that pissed off place or that place of despair, she's continually poured into by God. He's continued to use his word to speak to her in powerful ways, and that's what he wants for you. Now, let me say this. There's probably a lot of believers here this morning that in the past, and we've all had mountaintop experiences, have heard God's voice pretty clearly. But for whatever reason, maybe lately it's been a little fuzzy, a little distant. Maybe there's some static on the line that wasn't there before. Maybe you haven't heard from God in weeks or months or maybe even years. And so sometimes you start asking, what happened? What happened to my faith? What happened to my walk with God? He's still there. He still loves you. He's still calling out. But the answer lies in this, and you're not going to like it. But the answer is sometimes we allow sin to complicate that relationship with God. We allow sin to come in and block those channels and to harden our hearts. There's something wrong in our life that's come between us and God. And until we deal with that, right, the channels are going to stay a little blocked, a little fuzzy. It's those times that our hearts grow cold in the midst of our sin. I say we all got pet sins, right? And it's harder in those moments to hear his forgiveness, to hear his presence, to be reminded that he's got us, to remind ourselves in the midst of just difficulty that he's working all things for our good. It just becomes harder for us to remember all the things that he keeps sharing with us always as we come to church, as we read the Bible, all these amazing promises, the good stuff, because we've let something get in there that's messing up our hearing, right? So God's answer to that is this morning is just this: come back to me. Looks like repentance, right? And he opens the doors and he opens the ears. Come home to Jesus. Come home to Jesus. Say, "I want that relationship I had with you. I want to be able to talk with you again. I want to hear your voice. I want you to lead me as I'm going through life. I want that relationship back. Help me avoid, help me overcome all these things that are complicating my life. Forgive my sins. Direct me in the right way." And if you've never heard from him, my prayer is that you'd open your heart today. And the message is the same thing, that you'd come home to Jesus, that you'd open up your heart to him and hear how much he loves you, that you're forgiven, that he's got you as you're going through this crazy world. He desperately wants to spend time with you. So that's my prayer today. Hear his voice. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we do. We thank you so much for Jesus, and we know you talk to us in your word all the time, Lord. Oh, we know that. We get so distracted as we're going through life. We get so busy with other things. We don't like reading. I mean, whatever the deal, Lord, we just miss out on the place where you talk to us the most. And then sometimes we come into church, and we're so distracted with our lives or with sin or with, you know, inconsequential things that we just don't even connect to you in that place that you kind of designed for us to remember. So, Father, we pray today, send your Spirit out and give us the strength to be with you, to repent of our sins, unclogging those pathways, right? That we are in your word so that we can hear you speak, and that we're reminded continually that you're there. Father, we love you so much, and we pray this today in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.